A paradox is a seeming contradiction. The moral teachings of Jesus are laced with paradox. The meek shall inherit the land, the humble shall be exalted, the last shall be first. He who loses his life shall find it. And then when we move from the moral to the doctrinal teaching, we recognize the fundamental paradox of Christianity. God became man. God-man is a seeming paradox, a contradiction, and so is Virgin Mother. And that is why the story of Christmas contains paradoxes over and above the central one of the Incarnation. At that time, people were looking for a king, but the king was a child born in poverty. Two very poor people from a small village were his parents. They had no influence, no power, no wealth, and no fame. And what do we learn from all of this? That the way of the world is not the way of our God. That God's power is revealed in our own powerlessness. That God's influence is always seen in people who do not have much influence. That God's wealth comes to us in the realm of the Spirit. To be rich in spirit is what our faith is all about. And that God's fame comes in hiddenness and obscurity. That the comfort of God comes to us through uncomfortableness. And that's what we see in the first reading from Micah today. It all begins with a prophecy of paradox. You, Bethlehem, are too small to be even named among the clans of Judah. And yet from you shall come forth the one who is going to be the ruler of all of Israel. And if you ever want to find your king, the prophet is saying, then do not look for him among the great and the powerful clans, but rather you shall find him in one that is too small even to be named among the reputable families of Judah. The humble will be exalted, and the last shall always be first. The second reading has a paradox, at least in the sense of an unexpected turn, not in holocausts or sin offerings, not according to the expected laws does our God take delight, but rather in the one who comes to do the Father's will, the Son, Jesus. And then in the good news of the gospel, we discover that little account of the visit of Mary to her cousin Elizabeth. Mary the Virgin visits Elizabeth, her cousin. Both of them are pregnant. And Elizabeth says, blessed is she who trusted that the word of the Lord would be fulfilled. Blessed is she, Mary, who trusted that everything would work out eventually, even though she did not understand the mystery of which she now was a very important part. who trusted that her husband would understand in some way her pregnancy, who trusted that the journey to Bethlehem would not create any mishap for the child, who trusted that the long flight to Egypt would not harm her, who trusted somehow that her 12-year-old son would be found despite his disappearance in the temple, who trusted in her son's welfare throughout his public life, especially when the leaders of her own church and her own nation would turn against him, who trusted to the very end, even in the dark horror of Calvary, when they murdered him on the wood of the cross, that somehow she would discover light in this darkness. Light in darkness is what each one of us seeks. And that is when the Lord tells us to trust. In all of the paradoxes of our lives, the Lord says to us, yes, I know that you do not understand how the meek shall possess the land, but learn to trust me. I know that you do not understand that the humble will be exalted, but trust me. I know you do not understand that the last will be first, but trust me. Act meekly, be humble, and always take the last place. Trust me. And somehow things will work out for the good. That is the paradox. The paradox, a seeming contradiction. And yet for each of us personally, how often in our lives we meet real contradictions. Our efforts fail. We get sick at just the wrong time. We reach out to help a friend, and we hurt the very person we intended to help. Our plans for a project go up in smoke. These are the real contradictions of our lives, and they do cause us real discouragement and real depression. And yet, the paradox, if as we become older we learn how to trust deeply enough in the Spirit of Jesus Christ dwelling within us, they gradually will change from real contradictions to seeming contradictions to paradoxes. We shall begin to see that our setbacks in life, as time goes on, are really salutary, really wholesome, sanctifying for us. Timidly at first, we shall begin to see that we can salute our failures with the knowledge that hidden behind them lies the very power of the living God. Behind them lies our salvation, our liberation, our freedom from captivity. When Paul discovered his captivity in the weakness that he had, he cried out to the Lord that he be taken away. And the Lord said to Paul, "In your weakness, my power is fulfilled." And from that day on, Paul preached, "I shall always rejoice in my weakness, so that the power of the living God will be made manifest through me." Trust is a moment of passivity out of which the strength for action comes. Because it is there that God is able to act. Real trust in faith is always an act that takes place in a moment of passivity, often out of the bewilderment and the helplessness that we experience. For it is then, and possibly only then, that we are forced to turn to the Lord in our weakness, and then we learn to trust. And when we trust, we say, Lord, I cannot accomplish anything at all on my own. I have tried and tried again, but I have failed. And now I trust in your power. I cannot understand the things that you have revealed, but I trust you. I know that you are telling the truth, and I believe in you. Only you have the words of eternal life. No one else has. To whom else can I go? Only to you. Blessed was she who trusted that the Lord's words to her would be fulfilled, and blessed are we when we learn to trust that the Lord's words to us will be fulfilled. And in this time of waiting and expectation, what is the word that is given to us in this holy season of Advent? The word given to us is that we return once more in a spirit of prayer, meditation, to see again with the eyes of a child as we gaze each time to the figures of Bethlehem at the crib, the child in the hay, the Virgin Mother, the shepherds, and the sheep. It's a very, very old scene and a very, very old lesson that we all need to learn all over again. Simplicity, modesty, smallness, humility. That was how our salvation began, our redemption. This is how we respond to its beginning in our life now, particularly at this season, which is contrary to everything that the world around us tells us to do. To live and to celebrate today in modesty and simplicity. Above all now in our preparations for the Feast of Christmas, to avoid all that is extravagant, except in our gifts to the poor, to learn to be humble in serving others, and to be modest in our style of celebrating Christmas. That is how today we put the paradox back again into Christmas, that we learn that the humble will be exalted. We then become humble and trust. We learn to be simple and trust. We become modest and learn how to trust. And only in that way do we discover what we're all trying to find, that only through lowliness do we discover, do we find the very secret of life. Thank you.
Thank you.